Is that the Talking Heads?
Guess what time of the month it is?
Is it that time of the month?
It sure is. Second Monday of the month.
I didn't realize it was that time of the month.
Time for Get Lit, the Happy Hour Book Club show.
Time for Get Lit.
Yeah.
Erin Go Buck.
Yes, Ape on the Dink.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful. I'm so excited to be here and talk about this awesome book.
I know. I'm super excited. And we have a special guest here in studio, live in studio, is Bryce. Hello, Bryce. How are you?
Hello. I'm very good.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And where did you come from for this special edition of Get Lit?
From inside of Ape on the Dink.
Oh, no. Oh, that might have been. Yeah. Oh, that was scandalous. Yes.
Oh, it took me a minute to figure. My God, I don't know about
mother.
You two.
I came from her. No, I came from Seattle.
You did come from Seattle. And yes, we are talking to my daughter, Bryce. And there's a very special reason why she's here for this book. But first, I want to let you know that support for Get Lit on KD&K comes from Carbondale Beer Works. Open 7 days a week, Sunday through Thursday from 11 to 11 p.m. and Friday and Saturday until midnight. Beer Works hosts numerous nonprofit fundraisers and live music. Tuesday, Celtic Night with the Fairleys takes place tomorrow evening at 6:30 in the Beer Garden. More info at Carbondale Beer Works on Facebook. And I just read your prompt, didn't I? You can read mine.
Thanks a lot. I know. You're just like a hog on the mic today.
I know. I just jumped right on that one. I just.
I'll forgive you. No. Okay. It's a give and take. You're forgiven.
Okay. I'm going to give you mine. So that makes it fair.
Okay. Great.
Okay. As long as that works.
Great.
And so let's say, what was the book we read this month?
It was one of my favorites as a child, Where the Sidewalk Ends by Shel Silverstein. Yay!
Where the Sidewalk Ends. And if you're not familiar with Shel Silverstein...
You should be.
You definitely should be. He is a multifaceted, talented man. And he did many things. He wrote lots of poems that you can and can't read on the radio. He Ooh. Wrote songs, and he was just a pretty cool guy. He wrote The Giving Tree, right? That's Shel Silverstein.
Yeah.
A lot of people know that one.
The Missing Piece Meets the Big O.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that.
And this book, I apologize. Usually I'm more on top of this. I've been really busy with Membership Drive, so I didn't do as much research on Mr. Shel Silverstein as I should have. But this book...
Where are our printouts?
Hey, give me some slack. But this book came out in 1974. So it gives you an idea kind of his place in time and what was going on and why he might have written such poems.
Yeah, that's cool. So
Bryce and I weren't here, but you were. How was it?
It was an awesome time to be alive.
I had another 14 years.
We weren't even thought about.
Yeah. Yes. So actually, the copy of the book, Where the Sidewalk Ends, that I brought with me today, actually belonged to Bryce.
So this, look at this. When I was looking through this today, I don't know if I showed you. I was a nerd as a kid. But I have in here, my sister's name is Patrice. I wrote in there, from Patrice to Erin, Christmas 1994.
So you wrote that?
I wrote that so I would know who gave it to me and when.
Oh, my
geek.
Well,
that's nice.
But I had this is from my childhood, too. I don't have many books, but I kept this one.
Yeah, that's funny because, I definitely didn't keep all the books, and this one is still here. And
it says a lot about the book.
Yes, definitely. Because I'm even wondering if this actually had been her brother's copy and I might have bought that like in the early 80s.
It looks older than mine.
Yeah.
You know, this is definitely the updated cover or whatever.
I was definitely going to remark on the quality of yours versus the quality of my book there with a wishbone paper book cover on it and a broken binding.
Yes. It is the broken binding. It says Sniffing Out Adventure, Wishbone. It's got a picture of Wishbone. Yeah, the binding is broken.
Oh, Bryce, only child and again, nerd. Like everything had its precise place. Like don't come in and mess up my room or I will know. So, I mean, just you probably had way more fun. I was labeling all my books.
I am going to get you a little closer to the mic there, Bryce. You're getting a little feedback or echo or something over.
Your poor chair's rolling away.
Your corner of the rumpus room over there. Yeah. Can it still be the rumpus room?
I don't see why not.
That's only during the wild rumpus.
Well, we kind of share things.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so I don't mind.
Okay.
I think, April, that you should read one of your favorite poems from this
book. Okay. I am going to read one of my favorite poems. And Yeah. So here we go. This is Ickle Me, Pickle Me, Tickle Me Too. Ickle Me, Pickle Me, Tickle Me Too. Went for a ride in a flying shoe. Hooray, what fun. It's time we flew, said Ickle Me, Pickle Me, Tickle Me Too. Ickle was captain and Pickle was crew, and Tickle served coffee and mulligan stew. As higher and higher and higher they flew, Ickle Me, Pickle Me, Tickle Me Too. Ickle Me, Pickle Me, Tickle Me Too. Over the sun and beyond the blue. Hold on, stay in, I hope we do, cried Ickle Me, Pickle Me, Tickle Me Too. Ickle Me, Pickle Me, Tickle Me Too. Never returned to the world they knew, and nobody knows what happened to dear Ickle Me, Pickle Me, Tickle Me Too. I think they're here in Carbondale, though.
Ooh, that yes. would be fun. Because I hope they call in.
Because, that'd be amazing. Ickle, Pickle, Tickle, if you guys, any of you are still around, just give us a call here at 963-2976. I was going to send you to the office there. 963-2976. And so what do you call this? The
mountains?
Yeah, the illustrations. The illustration for Ickle Me, Tickle Me, Pickle. Yeah, he's coming right over Mount Sopras. So you know this is where they're at. They're
and they
here.
Were born in 1974, so they're not.
Yeah.
They're still around.
They're still around.
They're still alive.
Yeah, flying that shoe up and over Sopras and around and everywhere else. Yes, and you mean book? I can't count on your pages of printed out notes that we normally have?
No, I did not bring my crib notes today. Don't pick on me. I'm feeling very out of place. I don't have anything. I wanted to have so many things to talk about with Shel Silverstein, and I was just thinking to myself, oh my gosh, we chose a book that we were going to read for next month, and I can't even remember it. So I'm sitting here frantically looking at my notes before the show ends. No, I'm not always completely on top of it. Hey, I don't know if you've heard, Bryce, but your mom is a slacker and I'm on top
exactly.
of it.
Exactly. I was just going to say, she's giving you such a hard time. I have heard all of the stories already this weekend about how she sometimes won't read the book.
Oh, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Let alone mm-hmm. know any of the history.
Right. So then if I don't have my notes, she just throws me right under the bus.
Exactly. Yeah. The one time. Of course she does.
At least I have some sympathy in the room.
It sounds right. This is appropriate.
I'm just afraid that I'm afraid for you. I'm afraid that I'm rubbing off on you. And
I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it.
It's not.
The future
it's not,
of this radio show is in question.
You're right. There you go. I think that this is a warning for you and you should be careful. But
stop rubbing off on me. I'm trying to be a good kid and get all this stuff done, and you just... Oh, I found it. Okay,
wow.
We're all good.
Erin, you sound exactly like me as a teenager speaking to my mother.
Well, I'm trying to be
good. It happens now still.
And you're just not the influence that most children have. You're like, Mom, what? You're not like the other moms, and I really don't mean that in a good way. We're going a whole different direction.
This is, since we don't have as many facts today, I'll read another poem because it's amazing. Well, we'll get to you. We'll get to your iPhone facts. And I also want to encourage people to call in. I know that there are lots of children and adults who have read this book. This isn't just an adult show. We chose this book specifically for kids going back to school. So please feel free to call in and talk about your favorite poem, or you can even read it to us. And I'm going to try to read this over the air. I haven't read it in many years. I used to have it memorized, so let's see how it goes. It's called Sick. I cannot go to school today, said little Peggy Ann McKay. I have the measles and the mumps, a gash, a rash, and purple bumps. My mouth is wet, my throat is dry, I'm going blind in my right eye. My tonsils are as big as rocks, I've counted 16 chicken pox, and there's one more that's 17. And don't you think my face looks green? My leg is cut, my eyes are blue, it might be instamatic flu. I cough and sneeze and gasp and choke, I'm sure that my left leg is broke. My hip hurts when I move my chin, my belly button's caving in, my back is wrenched, my ankle sprained, my appendix pains each time it rains. My nose is cold, my toes are numb, I have a sliver in my thumb. My neck is stiff, my voice is weak, I hardly whisper when I speak. My tongue is filling up my mouth, I think my hair is falling out. My elbow's bent, my spine ain't straight, my temperature is 108. My brain is shrunk, I cannot hear, there is a hole inside my ear. I have a hangnail and my heart is... What? What's that? What's that you say? You say today is... Saturday. goodbye, I'm going out to play. That's typical kid for you.
There you go. That's awesome.
I used to have that memorized. It's sad that I don't.
Well, I kind of used to have ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too also, but you know.
Other membership happens. Things have pushed the poem out of my brain.
Yeah, right? Well, you know, it's just funny because I'm looking at something right now. It says that there's top 10 country songs that you might not know Shel Silverstein wrote. Shel Silverstein's known for his whimsical and twisted children's poetry, compiled in books such as Where the Sidewalk Ends and A Light in the Attic. However, the Chicago native had many talents. He also wrote and illustrated the beloved children's book, The Giving Tree, and was a prolific songwriter, especially for country artists. In fact, Silverstein's songs were recorded in the 60s and 70s by Johnny Cash, Bobby Bear, Kris Kristofferson, Waylon Jennings, Emmylou Harris, Judy Collins. I mean, there's...
Who knew?
I know. Well, at the end of the show, make sure you stay tuned because you're going to hear a song that was written by Shel Silverstein that you probably, I'm going to guess.
Probably don't know.
You don't know that he
wrote didn't
it.
Know.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be fun.
I remember hearing this a few years ago, and I don't remember the context in which it was brought up, but talking about Shel Silverstein being a songwriter and it making a lot of sense once you know what the songs are,
yeah,
and you hear them in that,
yeah,
regard, you can absolutely tell
it with that filter. Yeah, it says on the back of here that he writes songs, draws cartoons, sings, plays the guitar, and has a good time.
So yeah, I like that. Well, a lot of the songs that he wrote, I actually play on the Wild Rumpus because I mean it kind of country oriented. Mm-hmm. And one band, which probably is not like that main popular, but Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show, he wrote quite a few songs for them. And of course, like
I don't
it's
know
a
them.
That's what
Sorry.
I mean. Yeah, they're not somebody. They wrote a cover of the Rolling Stone. He did not write that, but that's their like big song.
Ah.
So most people do know who they are. They just don't know they
know. That happens to me so often. Yeah. Like, no, you do know. Because people say, do you know this music artist? And they say no. And then they'll play a song. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
I just didn't know that's who it was.
Yeah, yeah. So Bryce, you have a favorite poem over there?
I do have a favorite poem. Well, I have multiple, but this is definitely the top one. I'm going to be reading Love. Ricky was L, but he's home with the flu. Lizzie, our O, had some homework to do. Mitchell, E, probably got lost on the way. So I'm all of love that could make it today.
And it's the V.
And that's it. And it's Aww. Just the illustration is a small child holding a V. And that's it. And it's funny you mentioned it, the year that it was written and the context in which that brings in you.
Right.
And you look at it with that filter and you see that and it really brings out a lot extra meaning to all of these poems when you think about it and what was going on in the world and what people were feeling.
And how it translates to today.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I love stuff like that. That is, you're like, wow, it transcends, like the one Red Rising.
It
translates
we read that
time.
Book. Yeah.
I read that book.
Oh, yeah.
It translates time.
I saw it. Wait. I saw that book.
April had the copy in her hand. That's what she
did. So I was wondering, you said that he was from Chicago. So he was born in September 1930 and he died in Chicago and then he died May 1999 in Florida.
Oh, he died in 99. I thought it was more recent than that, to be honest. But
nope, he's been gone for a little while. But it looks like he was also a screenwriter as well. So that would be interesting to see.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I think he's one of these people that as a kid, you just think, oh, he writes kids books. And then as you mature and start looking into it, you're like, oh, this guy relates to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I guess he was pretty well known for his X-rated limericks and things like that also.
Yeah, Raleigh was telling me to YouTube him, and I was, but not on air. And I said, oh, really?
Yeah. There you go.
I had no idea.
Yes. So what are we drinking today during Happy Hour Get Lit to celebrate this?
We're keeping it PG with a kitty cocktail. Ooh, do we have a caller calling in? April's going to work on answering that while I talk about the kitty cocktail. So I just saw you guys making this, I believe, Sprite.
Yes.
Grenadine
and just the maraschino cherry.
Maraschino cherry. Yeah. Maraschino cherries are interesting.
They are. I actually recently just had a friend who said, did you know that maraschino cherries have formaldehyde? I did know that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to just preserve you nicely. It's like drinking wine every day. It's just a little preserve.
Exactly what I say. This is what we're doing anyways. We all drink at least a little bit most of the
You're
week.
You're like, well, did you know there's fluoride in your water?
Yeah, exactly.
We're all insights that you live forever in.
But I wonder, I know that that was a thing. I just wonder if it still is, because that was always like...
With the cherries?
Yeah.
Is I there? Don't know.
Yeah.
I just know that they're all the same size and all the same color, which in nature isn't a thing, so I'm interested in how that process works.
But if there's just a very strict process of picking these cherries, you think that they're... low quality, actually.
Yeah, actually, they
well, you know, I went to a long, this is totally off topic, but years ago, I went to Avery Island where they make Tabasco sauce, and they actually show you where they have this wooden stick painted red, and they go around with that stick and hold it up to the peppers to know when they're ready to pick. So, and I don't know if they still, I'm guessing they still do it that way, but I don't know, maybe, I don't know. If anybody knows about maraschino cherries, let us know.
Yeah, well,
I'm curious.
Actually,
I lost the caller, so
I saw that and I didn't want to bring it up. Sorry, caller. We're not always so technically great, but we love you and we're so glad you called.
Yeah,
try again, maybe.
You can call back. A caller, you're on the air. That's my problem, and I know Luke is rolling his eyes at me right now. Luke, I can feel you in the other room rolling your eyes at me because I never do the caller, you're on the air, and put him straight on, but I suppose I could do that. So,
but wait, so going back to our cocktail, though, so I was thinking about this. Growing up, I called it a kitty cocktail.
Yeah.
But people call it a Shirley Temple.
That's it.
Oh, yeah, Shirley Temple.
What, do you think that's a regional thing?
It's got to be.
Oh, really? You don't call it a Shirley Temple?
No, like my mom would always be like, do you want a kitty cocktail? And as I got older, I was like, oh, Shirley Temple. But I was, you know, as a kid, I was like, a kitty cocktail.
And she specifically said that about Shirley Temples, not just any.
Right. Not like a non. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, I mean, because.
Or maybe that was just her.
I suppose we could.
Regionally.
With my mom.
Because I suppose we could look it up. But yeah, because we mean the story that I've always heard is that, you know, back in the day, of course, Shirley Temple, you know, when she would go in a restaurant or some restaurant made it for her.
Yeah.
And that's what she would order or whatever.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
They're delicious, but I was just curious about that. Like I grew up, I say soda now, but I grew up saying pop. Like it was always pop, and then I moved out here, and
it changed.
Yeah, well, I think when you're around people, it's like the no worries thing. Like when you are inundated by certain phrases, you just like start saying it. Like I never said no worries growing up, but I moved to Colorado, and it's like, oh, no worries.
Okay, okay. I actually have this. You have to hear this. The modern maraschino cherry is soaked in a salt brine, or even worse, a solution of calcium chloride and sulfur dioxide.
That sulfur
dioxide bleaches the cherries, removing their natural color and flavoring.
I told you.
And then they're pitted and soaked in the sweetener, typically high fructose corn syrup.
So they're not really even cherries anymore.
It's just the texture of a cherry at that point.
It's a Franken cherry.
That's it.
Definitely a Franken cherry. But you know what the thing is there are actually a lot of, and I just had a jar and I just wasn't sure how long it had been in my fridge.
Oh,
it was one of those. But you know, like what do you call them? Like, you know, more of a cottage industry, whatever, a artisanal.
Okay, yeah.
Artisanal cherry. And they're actually very delicious and quite expensive for a jar of them. But, you know, yeah. You know, if you're not putting them in a kitty cocktail, you're putting them in an adult cocktail.
An actual cocktail.
Yeah. It's like, then I can get away with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah. So we're read Shel Silverstein's Where the Sidewalk Ends this month. Very, very great book. If you're growing up and your parents read it to you or you read it to your kids. I know that there was one song, there was one poem. I remember your brother used to always say it was your poem, Bryce.
I believe I know which one you're talking about.
Yes.
And I believe it's going to be Sister for Sale.
It is.
Surprise!
It is Sister for Sale. And that was always that was for you. I'm going to find it too. We might as well. We love these songs, or these songs. These. What? It's not in this one. It must be in, what's the other book of poems?
Oh. Edge. What is it?
Yeah. What is this? Yeah, whatever. Sister for Sale.
I'm learning. Okay, so.
What are you learning?
I was just learning some stuff about his personal life. This also, I think, frames maybe his work. So it said he had one daughter born in June 1970 with a woman named Susan from California. Susan died in 1975, one day before their daughter's fifth birthday.
Aww.
And then the daughter died in 1982 at age 11 of an aneurysm.
Aww. Wow, she really...
So he had a very sad life. Wow. You know, I don't know about his childhood, but my gosh, losing your wife and your child, I can't even imagine the grief and sorrow. So thinking of that when he's writing.
Yeah, like basically, like we just
funny,
said.
Satirical. You know, I wonder if that was part of his, you know, coping to work through some.
Oh,
of it.
I'm sure. I'm sure that would be.
Wow, that's really intense. See, this is why I like to do the research, because you learn such interesting things about people.
You really do. So this
Sorry,
is
I'll be
no,
on it next
don't
month.
Be no. Oh wow. Okay, I need some more of that sugar to hop me up now. So this is another Shel Silverstein. This is for you, Bryce. One sister for sale, one sister for sale, one crying and spying young sister for sale. I'm really not kidding, so he'll start the bidding. Do I hear a dollar, a nickel, a penny? Oh, isn't there any one person who'll buy this sister for sale? This crying, spying, old, young sister for sale.
Old, young.
So it says, old, young.
So oh, beyond her years.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, so are we gonna read a book next month, you think?
I think we are. Yeah. I'm looking up the author right now because I realized I texted you the title but not the author.
At least one of you will read a book next month.
There right. will be books read. There
I
will be
definitely
books.
Be reading. She does not don't worry about her. She has no influence on me.
Yeah, well, not now, not after this show. She's gonna get her decks in a row.
Okay, so the oh, this might be a hard one for people to get because it's newer, but if you want to go to the library. But it's called Say Nothing, A True Story of Murder and Memory in Northern Ireland. It came out in November 2018, and it's by Patrick Keefe.
Oh, man.
K-E-E-F-E.
And so if it's you know a true crime?
Yeah. If you know anything about April and I, we love crime books, and yeah. I love murder mysteries. So, yeah, it's a crime book.
Wow.
A true story of murder and memory in Northern Ireland. Oh. And I'm a little bit of Irish, so, you know, I like to read about them.
Oh, about those Irish.
Oh, who was that? Who came in here and
wow.
said that?
Wow.
Threw that out there.
Wow, look at the many talents. Now so. She's dancing. Oh, my gosh. She's doing an Irish jig in the corner. Erin, go yeah. book. You all. Oh,
I know. Well, I'm very. You never know what talents I'm going to pull out.
That's where we got the Erin Go book going. She's a little Irish. She's got the jig. See,
yes, I remember. Of course, that makes sense now.
I used to be in like choir and chorus again.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say what I was gonna say. And I remember when like sixth grade, there was like an Irish song or dance, and I did a little jig. And a group of girls did a little something the dance teacher taught us. So yeah, wow. I've done a little Irish jig here and there. Do not ask me to click my heels. I wish I could, but I can't.
Well, there you go. Okay, say it again. What's the name of the book?
Okay, you would do that.
I know, I do.
Say Nothing, A True Story of Murder and Memory in Northern Ireland by Patrick Keefe.
There we go.
It's kind of long. It's like almost 600 pages, but I'm a nerd and I like it. And it's 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Oh, wow.
So hey, it sounds really good.
Did we do this last time? I think we might not have.
What?
We usually try to like say what we put this book that we're reading right now on a scale of.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's hard to rate them when you haven't read the book.
Oh.
What do you think about Where the Sidewalk Ends? Bryce, why don't you give your rating? 1 out of 5, 5 being the best.
Well, I have to say, as far as a children's book
Well,
goes,
yeah, you have to put it in that
right,
genre, yeah.
In the
yeah.
context versus, well, all books. I still feel like I could rate this on the scale of all books I've ever read, but specifically as a child's book, as a children's book, a book you would read together as a family or...
Do you remember those good times? Do you remember those good times? Hey.
Were no, I remember times? Almost nothing yeah. of my childhood.
Block that out.
I do remember putting that book cover on that book.
That was so. That was a good time.
See, there were very few. honestly, I, as far as what I remember it being as part of my childhood, it's 4.5 probably for me as far as books that I was able to enjoy.
Well, there you go. And Erin, what do you give it?
Well, considering it's still in my repertoire of books at 35, it's a 5 out of 5 over here. I think, like I said, I memorized it as a kid. It's amazing, wonderful. You can read it now and still laugh. It's when you have put it into context, it's completely timeless.
All right. We actually need to really finish this up. So tell us all about Beer Works again.
Support for Get Lit on KDNK comes from Carbondale Beer Works, offering handcrafted microbrew and local seasonal food. Open 7 days a week, Sunday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. and Friday and Saturday until midnight. More info at Carbondale Beer Works on Facebook.
Thanks for listening to Get Lit. And this is A Boy Named Sue by Johnny Cash, written by Shel Silverstein.